Well, I've got your attention, don't I? We've got these towers sitting before us, as it's the theme of our message this morning as we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27. I think it's important for us to read the Scriptures and pay attention. So if you have your Bible, would you open the Bible to that passage? There are many other passages that we will mention, but that is the passage we're focusing on this morning. Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 are that massive sermon, one of the biggest sermons Jesus preached to his people, more information in that than any other place in the New Testament. Reading from Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded on that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded on that house, and it collapsed. And it collapsed with a great crash. May the Lord bless His Word. Heavenly Father, as we open the Word today, we want to rightly divide the Word of truth. We want to speak that which comes from Your heart, not from our brains. And we pray that You would anoint this preacher, his lips, and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Your sight. That You would anoint the ears of the hearers, that they might be ready to receive the Word of God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus often spoke to his disciples in parables. And that goes all the way back to the Old Testament when many of the prophets used parables to speak God's truth. We read of one last week in Psalm chapter 1. It is a parable, a simile of what a tree is like, planted by the rivers of water. Its roots grow deep and it will stand in the day of desert, in the day of dryness. This morning we look at another one, and that is to build your house upon the rock. And in a moment, we're going to use the illustration that's up here, and then we'll get that out of your way so you're not worried about these towers that are falling. But I wanted to mention how important it is to build on a solid rock. My son-in-law had a family house on the beach at Ortley in New Jersey. And then Hurricane Sandy came through, and it was a massive hurricane. And they said the eye of the storm, and actually the direction of the storm, came at ground zero to Ortley Beach. My son-in-law's family had a very beautiful home right on the beach there. And as that hurricane came through, it just wiped out most of the homes in that entire area. We remember driving through several weeks after, once they let people drive on the roads, and every house that we looked at was toppled over, smashed. Some of them were completely gone. As a matter of fact, right behind their house were several houses that were built on slabs, and there was nothing left of them. And they never found any of the furnishings, didn't find anything of the refrigerators or any of that. And so the devastation was huge. It looked like a bomb had gone off. And then we came to my son-in-law's house, and it stood firm. And the house next to it stood firm. There was some damage, but those two houses were built on pillars. Pillars that were dug deep into the sand, pounded into the sand, and the house was on those pillars, and they stood while everything around them collapsed. Those people that lost their homes, lost those vacation homes, probably wished they had built on stilts on those pillars so that their house would still stand. Jesus, in speaking of this, says that your life, my life, is like a building. And we need to build our lives on a solid foundation. A solid foundation that will endure the storms, the rains, the wind, and all the assaults of everything that can happen in the world. We read this week about California and the mudslides, and I'm sorry to see that as I see houses toppling down and sliding down in the mud and sliding down to the ocean, and I feel bad about that, but those multi-million dollar homes, I go, what were you thinking? You're building on a precipice, and you don't have the proper security for that. Jesus said, a wise man builds his house upon the rocks. How many of you ever went to Sunday school? Raise your hand. You may have learned this song, and I'm going to play it in just a minute, and then we're going to sing it together. It's called The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock. How many of you remember it? How many of you can sing it? Okay. Kent, we're going to play that right now. We're going to do the motions, so you have to stand up when we do this, if you're able to stand. And we're going to do the motions. I will try to remember the motions. If you remember them better, you do your own motions, okay? Anybody else want to stand up here and do it? Okay, let's try that. Here we go. Okay, so build your house on the solid rock. Those are good songs for children to learn, but also good songs for us to remember that the Lord wants us to build our house on a solid rock. Now I have a demonstration up here. I have an illustration that you've been anxious to look at and see. And I've got 5 little buildings here. Use the microphone. 5 little buildings, and all it took was for me to come over and breathe on it, and 2 of the buildings came down. But I want you to notice this one. This one is leaning quite a bit, and the middle one is leaning quite a bit the other way. But it happened to be the other 2, which had less of a foundation, and they went first. Now I want to see if you could cause this to fall down. Everyone say amen as loud as you possibly can. Ready? I knew if we were in a Pentecostal church, this would come down. All right, say it again. 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Now stomp your feet. Good. They're standing. Shall I blow on them? The winds came. And if I spit when it happens, the rains will come. And the wind. And the little one stood. All right, he came down too. All right. All of these have one similarity. They're not built on solid ground. I deliberately used a tablecloth underneath this because that causes there to be a cushion. And even as I built that little tower, I was noticing that early on there was a little bit of lean to the left or lean to the right, just like some of you, leaning to the left or leaning to the right. But if we had this on solid ground and level ground, we would want it anchored to a rock so it couldn't move. And that's what Jesus was dealing with his disciples, using the illustration. And I think he would have used Jenga. He would have used these little blocks to illustrate that to children. Now, while I'm finishing the message, would any of the children that are here, any of them still here? Would you like to come up and rebuild my... Come on up here. Okay, you got 2 of you, okay? Master Builder, stay over there. No talking, just building, okay? You can do it however you want, but listen to the sermon as well. All right, now you're distracted completely. There are 2 ways to live. One way is to make up things as you go along. To have no anchor for your soul, no compass to guide you, no directional signals, and no rules to live by. You simply live by the seat of your pants, guessing as you go along. A building on sand is easy. A building on sand costs less. You're making me nervous. Building on sand is faster and it's more convenient, but it won't last. And many people today are building their lives on shallow things, not on the Word of God. As a matter of fact, they don't know the Word of God, so they make it up as they go. Or they listen to the crowd around them and do what everybody else is doing, and they follow the crowd. And Jesus said, that's foolishness, because we are living this life. And as we live life, there are storms that are going to come our way. And unless we're grounded, unless we're really grounded in Him and our foundation is firm, the rains will come, the rivers will rise, the winds will blow and pound upon the house, and it will fall. Listen to this. The Lord says there's going to be trouble in your life. From the beginning to the end, He says, man is born for trouble as the sparks fly upward. He says, in the world you will have trouble. We need to remember Paul's troubles in 2 Corinthians. If you read that entire book, which you will, if you follow the reading of the New Testament this year, you'll read concerning his trials over and over again. It's insurmountable troubles that he was in, and yet he was firmly grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Job and all his troubles. Suddenly catastrophe came and calamity upon calamity, and yet his anchor was sure. He was founded upon a rock. And then we see Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, had so many troubles, thrown into a well, up to his neck in mud, expecting to die, crying out to God, where are you? What are you doing? And God rescued him because he was grounded upon a rock. In Matthew 5:45, it says, he makes the sun to rise on the bad and the good and causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike. And all of us are going to experience good things and bad things in life. And the question is, will we stand when the floods come through? Thank you, little guys. You did a good job. Better than I did. Give them a round of applause. There are losses and crosses. There are sickness and accidents. There are disappointments and disasters. There are diseases and death. And all of them will come our way sometime or other. You may escape for a few years. You may escape for many years. But eventually the storms of life will come and they will test whether you are built upon a rock, Christ Jesus. Last week I mentioned George Mueller, that great prayer warrior that supported 10,000 orphans, and I think it was like 5 orphanages, and he lived his life by faith. But he says, in the first 3 years after my conversion, I neglected the Word of God. But since then I began to search it diligently, and everything that I read is a blessing. I have read through the Bible 100 times, and always it's an increasing delight. His testimony is that the Word of God is rich and powerful, and it will help you through the storms of life. It will help you through the times of trial. It will help you in whatever project you're working on, because the Lord is with you. John Bunyan writes the same thing. He said, read the Bible and read it again, and do not despair of help to understand something of the will and mind of God. Though you don't think you understand it, it is in your heart. Pray and read. Read and pray. And For a little from God is better than any great deal from men. We need the Word of God. So that's the first warning that Jesus gives us, a warning concerning the storms of life that comes. And then there's the witness of those who are born again. The witness of them is that they have their anchor in Christ Jesus. They have built their foundation upon a rock, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, which is part of this message, chapters 5, 6, and 7. If you walk through, you will find there are 48 commands of the Lord Jesus Christ to every believer. 48 commands. I challenge you to spend some time this afternoon, go through those 3 chapters and look for those. And I have written them down because it's important for us to understand. But the danger is to think that commands or obeying commands somehow save you. The Pharisees were like that. They thought if they had enough commands and they obeyed enough commands, they would be saved. They had calculated that in the Old Testament there were 613 commands. Can you imagine that? I challenge you. Go through the Old Testament, pull out all the commands. You should find 613. But they went further than that. They said there are 365 negative commands and 248 positive commands in the Old Testament. And then the Pharisees, being the holier-than-thou kind of people, they built a skirt around the law, built a skirt so you didn't accidentally trip on these things, and they made their own laws to build up around those laws so you wouldn't by any means break those laws. And Jesus was speaking to Pharisees and saying, you built yourself upon the commands of the Old Testament. And he goes on to say that you've heard the Old Testament quotation that says, an eye for an eye, but a tooth for a tooth. And that's in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, but I tell you, love your enemies. Do good to them that do evil to you. Jesus takes this and switches it around. See, the commands are not to save us. The commands cannot save. You are not saved by your behavior. You are not saved by keeping rules. You are not saved by being good. You're not saved by trying to be good or having good intentions. And God doesn't grade on a curve. We are only saved by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who God sent into this world to die on the cross for our sins. All the laws in the world cannot take away our sin. We break them every day. In James it says, if we trip up on even one point, we're guilty of all. So all of us are guilty before God. But Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The behavior that Jesus is presenting in those chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the behavior that a believer ought to have. He's calling us to a higher life. He's calling us to more obedience to Him. He's calling us to let Jesus Christ live in us, because when we allow those commands to flow through us, then we are more like Christ. I mentioned last week, one of my favorite authors is Derek Prince, as he proclaims the Foundation for Faith series. And I wanted to read a portion of that because he certainly can say it better than I say. Many of us try to do all that God wants us to do. We try to keep the commands, but we're doing it in the wrong direction. The commands are not achievements for us to reach at. The commands are those things that ought to naturally come out of us, the obedience to those commands. Listen to what he says. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answers the question of how will you display yourself to us and not to the world. He says, if a man loved me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus is saying, if a man loves me, the Father and I will come, and we will love him, and we will make our abode with him. So then, in Jesus' words, he says, the key to the proper understanding of faith is that is found in the phrase, he will keep my words, he will obey my words. The main feature which distinguishes a true believer from the people of the world is that true disciples, true believers, are the ones who keep Christ's words. And he says, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come, and we will make our abode with him. Listen to this. Here then are the four vital facts concerning the Word of God. First, the keeping of God's Word is the supreme distinguishing feature which marks the disciple of Christ from the world. I think that's powerful. The keeping of the commands of Christ is the distinguishing feature that marks us as disciples of Christ. Secondly, the keeping of God's Word is the supreme test of the disciples' love for the Lord. And third, it is through the Word of God that we are able to keep and obey God's laws. Christ manifests Himself to us as disciples. And fourthly, it is through the Word of God that He establishes His abode with us. He lives with us and lives within us. Now I come to the end of that. He says it this way. Let me present these truths to you in a direct and personal way. The keeping of God's Word is the supreme distinguishing feature which should mark you from the rest of the world as a disciple of Christ. It is the test of your love for God. It is the cause of God's love and favor toward you. It is the way that Christ manifests Himself to you. It is the way that God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit come to you and take up their residence within you. Now, this is the classic. Let me put it this way. Your attitude toward God's Word is your attitude toward God Himself. You do not love God more than you love His Word. You do not obey God more than you obey His Word. You do not honor God more than you honor His Word. You do not have more room in your heart for God and life than you have for His Word. I think that's powerful. That's why I have challenged you this year to begin reading through the New Testament. You can do that in 260 days. That means if you began January 1st, according to the guide that's in your bulletin today, and we'll give you the rest of that as we proceed during the year, you read through the New Testament 260 days. Then you will still have lots of other days where you can read through Genesis and Exodus and Ruth and Esther. And in 365 days, you've got a lot of reading done by reading one chapter a day. That's so important. But Jesus goes on to say, as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, just before he gives us our passage this morning about building on a rock, he says, "Many will come to me in that day and say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we do many good works in your name? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we tithe? Didn't we give to the poor? Didn't we serve on the governing board?'" Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." Jesus is saying many people believe they're saved because they're trying to do laws. They're trying to obey the laws. You don't obey the laws to get to heaven. You obey the laws because heaven has come into your heart. The Lord Jesus is coming to you. And now the fruit of that, the experience of that knowing Christ, lives itself out in your life. Jesus also said, "Whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments of mine and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now I want to do something that's very tedious. And why do I want to do it? Because Jesus preached about it. And I'm going to sum up his Sermon on the Mount in bulleted points, 48 of them, commands to each one of us. And as we read this, we need to understand in 1 John, John says his commandments are not difficult. His commandments are not horrible. His commandments are not impossible. The love of Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit is in us, then we're able to do this. Listen to these commands. And if you're a shorthand person, you can take these down. Be poor in spirit. Be able to mourn. Be meek. Be hungry for righteousness. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be a peacemaker. Be happy when you're persecuted. Rejoice when people speak evil of you. Let your light shine. Do not get angry with your brother. Do not get angry with your brother. Do not get angry with your brother. I'm waiting for an amen. Do not call anyone fool. Do not curse your enemy. Be reconciled to your brother who is angry with you. Do not lust after anyone. Do not divorce. Do not swear by God's throne. Do not resist evil with violence. Turn the other cheek. If you're sued, give up. Go the extra mile. Loan whenever somebody asks you to borrow something. Do not give an eye for an eye. Love your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you and hurt you. Be perfect like your Heavenly Father is perfect. Don't show off your good deeds. Give your offerings in secret. Give to the poor secretly. Don't pray like the hypocrites. Don't pray using vain repetitions. Don't pray to be seen of men. Don't pray long prayers in public. Pray in your closet secretly. Pray like the Lord's Prayer. Fast only in secret. Don't store up treasures on earth. Don't try to serve God and money. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't judge people unjustly. Don't pick on other people's faults. Pick on your own faults. Deal with your own imperfections. Don't throw holy things to the dog. Ask, seek, knock, and persist in prayer. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Enter into heaven by the narrow gate and watch out for false prophets and false teachers. All of that, Jesus says. Now, he never intended that we should write down 48 of these commands and go through every day like Ben Franklin did and check off what we obeyed and what we disobeyed. He's giving us an example to follow because the Sermon on the Mount is basically Jesus saying, live like me. Live like I live. Do as I do. Let me live my life in you. That's what the commands are for. So we understand the measure is Jesus Christ. Not the tediousness of the law, but the measure of Jesus Christ. So as a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have received Him, invited Him into your life, you have been born again. The Spirit of God lives in you. Even if you don't feel Him, He's there. And He wants to make you more and more like Jesus. It's a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I'm 75 years old and I'm not perfect yet. I'm almost there. Not The Apostle Paul said, "Not as though I'm already perfect, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." See, none of us should get discouraged with the commands of God. We should delight in the commands of the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm having a hard time forgiving somebody that trespassed against me. I'm having a hard time not being angry at my neighbor. I'm having a hard time with my wife. I'm having a hard time with my husband. I'm having a hard time giving money when God says I should give." All of those things. We should take those to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm not fulfilling the law, but I want you to live in me and fulfill it. Live in me and give me the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ that I might be like you." You see, the Bible is God's holy word. Your verse for today is concerning the Word of God, and I want you to memorize that. As I said last week, if you memorize the 52 verses we're putting in the bulletin every week, and you can quote that back to me at the end of the year, I'll give you a good study Bible like this. I won't give you the old one. I'll give you a brand new one if you can do that. Because I think if you hide God's Word in your heart, it's going to begin to transform you. It's like ingesting food and digesting it. It's got to get inside so you can think about it. In your bulletin is the first 3 months of our reading through the New Testament. My wife and I have enjoyed trying to catch up because we got started a week late. All of us did in this. And so we've been reading two chapters a day from the Gospel of Mark. And tomorrow we're caught up. And then we can continue with the reading. So if you're reading through with us and you haven't read through the Gospel of Mark, you can either catch up and read it or just pick up on Tuesday with 1 John, 5 chapters. And then 1 Peter, 5 chapters. And then James, 5 chapters. And it takes care of January. And then you got February, going to read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 and 2 Thessalonians in 1 month. And then in March, you're going to go through the book of Acts and 2 Peter. And it's easy to do because we're not asking you to do a lot. When you try to read through the whole Bible in a year, you have to read 4 or 5 chapters a day. And that's where you're supposed to groan. Oh. But one chapter a day is easy for anyone. I have measured it. As a matter of fact, I was reading and recording the reading of the Gospel of Mark, and each one takes anywhere from 4 minutes to 6 minutes. Every chapter, 4 minutes to 6 minutes. You cannot say to the Lord, "Jesus, I don't have 6 minutes to give to you." So I want to challenge you, lovingly challenge you. Join with us and begin reading the Word of God and thinking about those things that God has given us. What should we do with this message? If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. If you've got a Bible, then open it up and every day start reading. "Pastor, do I have to read the according to the chart that you have?" No, but if you don't, you'll probably get lost somewhere and give up. So stay with it, and we're with it together, reading together the Word of God till we've completed the task. And then I challenge you to look for the promises of God as you read. Look for curious things as you read. Look for things that you don't understand, and then find a Bible dictionary and look it up. But think about the things that God has put before you. And then lastly, look for the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anything He has instructed or commanded you to do that you're not doing? These things will keep you from falling, and you'll be presented faultless before His throne. Your anchor is Jesus Christ. Your rock is Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is the way we stay close to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You haven't challenged us to do the impossible, because You have given us Your Holy Spirit, who You said would be in us to draw us closer to You. And You would be working in us to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray, Heavenly Father, as we read the Word, it would get into us. We would begin to digest it and take it seriously. We would memorize it. We would meditate on it. We would read it out loud. We'd let it flow over us and flood us, so that the anchor of our life would be the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those that have never read the Bible and are a little frightened to read a chapter a day. I pray that You'd give them courage to do this. And Lord, as they do, may it be like drinking from a fresh well of water. May they feel the wonder of Your Word and grow in Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray this morning, if there's anyone here that does not know You as their personal Savior, they've never invited You to come into their life, that right now they would pray this prayer. "Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I have failed You. that I need you. Come into my life. Wash away my sins. Be my Savior. I trust you. You died on the cross for me. You rose again for me. You're in heaven preparing a place for me. Thank you for coming into my life. Be my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, now we pray that you would bless the word to our hearts. Teach us to grow strong in Jesus Christ. Teach us to use the word of God as the mirror that shows us what we are really like. Teach us, Lord, to hold hands with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk through the scriptures. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, we're going to sing one verse of number 340, On Christ, the Solid Rock I Stand. Number 340.